Welcome to this Happy Home podcast. I'm Arlene Pellicane. Is it possible to use social media wisely as a teenager to the glory of God? Debut author and college student Emma Mae Jenkins is here to share her story of influence. If you have or will have a teen girl, you'll especially want to lean in to this inspiring interview.
Strengthening you and your family. Welcome to the Happy Home Podcast with your host, Arlene Pellicane.
Well, my guest today is a pure delight and a bit of a departure from the type of guests I usually have. Now, that doesn't mean my guests aren't usually pure delights, because they are, but it's just that my guest today is not an adult, because usually I have adults sharing about their marriage or their parenting experience. But today I am talking to a college student, a young lady, about her relationship with Jesus and how her parents shaped and influenced her vibrant faith. And I think as a parent, it's kind of fun to hear the other side once in a while. Emma Mae Jenkins is an author and college student at Liberty University. She is a social media influencer, writer, speaker, and YouTuber with the sole purpose of leading others into a relationship with Jesus. She has chronicled her journey through high school on social media and has inspired thousands of teenagers to live out their faith freely and boldly. And she has a smile as wide as Texas, an enormous heart, and is often seen wearing her socks outside of her pants. I kind of love this about her. Emma's first book is titled Be Loved, with a foreword written by Sadie Robertson. Let's get started. Well, Emma Mae, there are many people who are listening who have had to move around, either for their job, maybe they're in the military. And, you know, my family is a little bit boring. My kids have lived in the same city the whole time, from kindergarten all the way now. My oldest is in high school. But you, my friend, you have moved around a lot. And so I think you can give us some insights as parents to how we can help our kids through moves. By the summer before your 10th grade year, you moved from Alabama to Arkansas, and that was your fifth time to be the new girl. So talk to us a little bit what it was like to move around a lot.
Yes, that was quite a journey. It was really sweet, because the first five moves I was genuinely so excited about all of them. Like, I couldn't wait to go into our new house, and I was so excited to go meet new people and make new friends. And with every move, also, little did I know in the moment, but looking back, it's so clear that God was bringing our family closer. God was deepening the faith of my parents, bringing my parents closer in their marriage. Like, the Lord had such purpose for every single move. Then came my move from 9th grade to 10th grade into Arkansas. And I think that one was definitely the toughest one for me, because we had lived in Alabama for 2 years, so I had made some incredible friends. We had kind of gotten settled, and the Lord said, you know what, I need to bring you into this next season. And I was excited about it, because I knew that God had been faithful in the past, so why would he not be faithful now? He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So I knew that, okay, God, you're going to use this. But I got scared. I was scared of if I was going to make friends. I was scared of what people were going to think of me. I was scared of, was it going to be as good as where we were? All of those different things. And I remember the night before school started for 10th grade, and I was going to a school of about 4,500 students. And I remember being so humbled, because the Lord just gently reminded me, Emma, love is not self-seeking. And everything, every excuse that you're bringing to be afraid is about whether or not people will like you, about whether or not you are going to make friends, how you are going to be seen. And perfect love casts out all fear. And so the Lord gave me like a new vision, a refreshed vision of myself in his eyes, but also a refreshed vision of how the situation was going to look, because I was going to see it through his perspective and see it as an opportunity to go love people, because I knew that was why I was there. And so that, it was the hardest move, but it was such a faith deepening move for me personally. And I'm so thankful. And God uses every story. He uses the stories of growing up in the same place all your life And he uses the stories of moving every couple years. And our family just happened to be a moving one. And he definitely used it.
You know, kids are transitioning all the time, out of one team, into a new youth group, or moving from kids' church to youth group, or moving different schools. And you, my friend, you've got this great attitude, like, hey, what's going to happen next? You have a great attitude about making transitions. How can we as parents encourage our kids to face transitions with this kind of attitude, to face change with faith? How can we instill that faith in our kids?
I'll share a story after I share this sweet little moment that I'll always remember. But I remember when we first moved to Arkansas, and it was the beginning of the summer, didn't know anybody because school hadn't started. And I was upstairs in my room, and I was crying because I was so afraid. And my mom walks into my room, and she said, Emma, like, why would God bring you to a place and not be faithful in that place? And I just remember, like, being so encouraged by, like, how she met me right where I was. And she was like, she was pumping me up in truth. She was like, why would they not love you? And all of these different things. And I just remember her meeting me there and acknowledging where I was, but speaking truth about where I needed to be. And it was so encouraging. But something that, like, I will never forget and truly, like, is such a milestone in my walk with the Lord was when I was in eighth grade. So this was this was about a year and a half before we moved to Arkansas. And up to this point, I had grown up in a home that my family loved the Lord. I don't remember a time in my life that I didn't love Jesus. But I didn't really know what grace was. It was very, very hard on Emma, and had set the standard of perfection on myself. Nobody else had set it for me. Like, I had incredible people around me, but I just had this persona in my mind that, like, if I don't meet this standard, then I'm not going to be accepted. And so it totally robbed me of the vision that, wait, I don't have to live for acceptance. I live from acceptance because I'm already accepted by the Lord. And I hadn't really grasped that yet. And so because of that mentality, I was on my bed crying again. And my dad, I was 14 at this time, my dad walks into my room and he said, Emma, what's wrong? And something I love about our home is that nothing was taboo. There was nothing that we couldn't talk about. My mom and dad were honest about the fact that they were human and they didn't do everything perfectly. And that really gave me and my brother just an open door to be honest about how we are human. And with truth and grace, we would walk through it together. And so it was a safe place. And so I was like, Dad, this is where I'm at. And he pointed to my Bible on my bookshelf and he said, Emma, when was the last time that you spent time with the Lord alone in his word? And I couldn't remember. And he said, Emma, when Jesus comes back, I'm not going to be standing with you holding your hand. It's only going to be you and Jesus. And he's either going to say, well done, good and faithful servant, or depart from me, for I never knew you. And then my dad walked out of the room and let me be alone with the Lord. And I am forever grateful for that, because I was able to just be alone with God and really search my heart. And it was really sweet because my dad was basically saying, Emma, my faith cannot be your faith. I'm here to coach you. I'm here to walk alongside you. I'm here to encourage you, but I cannot be the source of what you believe, because you're going to have to give an account for what you take ownership for. And that really set the tone for our move to Arkansas, because I really, for the next year and a half, just spent time digging into the word about who I am in Christ, what he says about me, who he is. And therefore, I had a foundation of truth.
So let's say with our child, we want them to read the Bible. So we drop all these hints. You know, we buy them a new Bible. We leave a Bible at the breakfast table. We put a Bible on their nightstand and we say, you know, read the Bible. But our kids kind of don't. They don't pick it up. What advice do you have to make the Bible more attractive to teenagers so they will pick it up and read it?
Wow. Well, and I say this from experience, seeing my parents in the Word, because that is so powerful to not only, like, talk about it, but actually be in it and be doing it. It's so sweet. Like, it was the atmosphere of our home. And my dad, like, in the mornings, he would talk to me and my brother, and he would say, okay, what's our verse of the day? And I'm like somebody who I am like, I love the mornings. Now I'd be singing and shouting with my dad. But my brother, we are so different in such a beautiful way. But my brother, during high school, when we were in high school together, in the mornings, he wouldn't talk a whole lot. And so, like, it was really sweet getting to see my mom and dad, like, walk alongside both me and my brother, even though we're both two completely different people. But the word was still the center. And it's like, okay, what's the verse of the day? And our motto at home growing up was Psalm 1. And in Psalm 1, it says, blessed is the man who doesn't walk in the ways of the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers. But blessed is the man who meditates on God's word day and night, for he will be like a tree planted by streams of water. He will yield his fruit in season. His leaves will never wither, and everything he does will prosper. And that was our motto. And what that basically is saying is, you will be blessed richly if you are intentional about who your friends are, and if you spend time in the word. And so, like, for example, my brother would be invited to go to his guy's friend's house, and there would be a bunch of guys there, and my mom would just text him Psalm 1, and he would just say, yes, ma'am. And he knew that, like, he knew, yeah. He was like, okay, like, I know she's reminding me that it's important who I surround myself with, that I am a leader. And so, like, it was the language of our home. So it wasn't just go do it to check off a list or Sunday morning, but like, it was as a family, we each individually owned it, but as a family, it was what we did together.
So when it comes to social media, you are using it for a specific purpose. You know, you've got kind of a vision and a plan, and you're using social media for good. Like, you have an idea of what it's there for, and you do that. But many girls, you know, they struggle with it. They have problems with social media. And I'm sure that everything is not, you know, roses and sunshine, that you have some problems with it too. So what kind of problems have you faced using social media?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So to answer that question, I think one of the main problems on social media, but I'm hesitant to even say a problem, and I'll explain why, is because when I saw social media as a platform for my purpose is to love God and love people, and social media was a platform by which I could do that in a creative way, and in a fun way, and in a broad way. And in doing that, though, Jesus said that not everybody's going to love you, and so in doing that, you get tons of comments. I've gotten comments of praise and adoration and gratitude on one side of the spectrum, and on the other side of the spectrum, hatred and mockery and people tagging other people so that together they can laugh at me, and everything in between. And so if you look at that, you see, man, that's a problem. And that is a problem because words are hurtful. I've gone to just like in tears, like, because words are hurtful. Our tongues hold the power of life and death, and it does not feel good to be told things that aren't true about you, but sound believable when you don't know what God says about you. And so when you see that, it's like, okay, that is a problem. That is not good. But the reason I was hesitant, oh, it gets me so excited. Do we know what God says about us? Because when I'm told that I'm not beautiful, I get to say, wait a second. But my God says in Genesis 1:27 that I am made in his image. He says in Psalm 139:14 that I am fearfully and wonderfully made. He says in Ephesians 2:10 that I am his masterpiece. That doesn't really line up. And so therefore, I'm cultivating a habit in myself that anytime I'm told something or I hear something, no matter who the source is coming from, I'm going to take it to the Word of God. And if it doesn't align with the Word of God, then I cannot stand on it, because it's going to be fickle. And so I really had to practice that. And that's why I was hesitant to say that if it was a problem, because like, truly, it's also an opportunity. And when I begin to see myself the way that God sees me, I can see other people the way God sees other people, even the people that are speaking hatred over me.
Emma, how do you keep yourself from just scrolling endlessly? Because there's always like something you can do. Oh, I could post another photo. Oh, let me reach out to my friend to see how she's doing. You know, you can always keep doing that. Or, you know, but you have homework to do. Like there are times where you need to shut down and you need to do something else. So how have you developed good patterns of using social media? What kind of rhythms do you have? What advice could you give with having boundaries with our social media?
Yes, that is truly a process. Truly, I love being intentional with people. I love letting them know that I'm present with them. I love letting them know that they're heard, just being fully with them. But when it came to homework, that was something that I really had to practice because I wasn't with people. It was just me doing my homework. And so I didn't have to worry about, you know, so like, that was like, I'm just by myself. Yeah. And so like, I would be like, oh, I would love to write a post right now, or I'm going to go and scroll. I'm going to go look on Pinterest and see all these quotes, or go look at all these flowers, or, and I'd look up and 2 hours had passed by and I hadn't done a paper of homework. And so that was something that I had to practice cultivating a habit of, whether that be leaving my phone across my bedroom or truly just like just walking with self-discipline, like taking ownership. I control what I do with my phone. My phone does not control me. And so whether that be leaving the phone downstairs or turning your phone on silent or putting it across the room or setting a timer. I would do that sometimes. I would struggle with procrastination and wanting to be on my phone rather than doing schoolwork. That was something that I really had to work on. And in college, it's different. But high school was definitely something, that was something I wasn't the best at, but it was a day-by-day practice.
Well, here you are. You're a little unusual. You know, there are not that many college students who have published a book already, you know, pretty much before their junior year. And so we can see that social media has helped you to have a voice, to encourage others. And that's been positive. But a lot of times, if we look at our daughters, our nieces, our granddaughters, our friends, we see, you know, the social media thing, it has a negative effect. It's making you more depressed. It's making you prone to worry. You're comparing yourself too much. So what advice could you give us as parents that we could help our kids navigate social media better?
Wow. Well, again, like leading by example is something that is so powerful and truly is never wasted. So by like parents investing into authentic relationships. Like my dad, he is constantly discipling reliable men, sharing the gospel with them. I will rarely call my dad and he's not meeting a guy for coffee or meeting a guy for lunch or meeting a guy for supper. Like he's constantly meeting with other men, doing like pouring life into them and walking alongside them, discipling them in truth. And it's just so beautiful the way that my mom leads in the corporate world and the way that my mom loves people so well. And like we invite people into our home. And so like one, seeing my parents live that out, having authentic relationships, that is such a powerful example because you're doing it. Our God is a God of relationships and he made us to do life with people. Now, social media is a way by which we can connect with people. It's a way we can stay in touch with people. It's a way we can celebrate people, but we were made to do life together in unity, face to face. And that's like truly, you can't go and experience genuine relationships and say that that's better than being on your phone all day. And so I think whenever that mindset shifts and you really realize how important and essential and valuable face-to-face relationships are, you then will see social media and your phone as it's truly just a way that you can stay connected with those people. You know, it's not your source of relationships. It's just a tool.
Do you ever get concerned about how much tech young people are using? You know, I grew up without that. So when I look at all these kids and they're on their phones all the time, it's like, whoa, look at this. But, you know, when you're a digital native, you kind of are like, this is how it is. You know, what concerns, if any, do you have about the growing use of tech?
It kind of makes you take a double take whenever it's become like, I guess, would you say an idol? Like, is it more important than your relationship with the Lord? And because when my relationship with the Lord is most important, what is most important to the Lord is most important to me. And the Lord, I'm made to be in relationship with Him, and I'm made to be in relationship with people. And like, if social media and technology has become more important than that, then I need to like take a step back and take inventory of my priorities, because technology is a beautiful thing. Like, we live in such a cool time where like I can be sitting in my bedroom in Arkansas and share a message with people all the way in Peru. And I mean, that's insane. And I think that it really is just a heart deal. Like, where is your heart at? Because if technology is what's most important to you, then that's when I just think inventory needs to be looked at again, because it's not a bad thing, but it becomes a dangerous thing whenever it takes priority.
All right, MMA, one last question, and this one is about bullying. A lot of us parents, we are very concerned about our kids and their cyberbullying and what's being said about them. So first I want to ask you, you know, have you yourself experienced being bullied? And then I want to ask, what advice would you give to a parent if we are concerned about our child being bullied?
Well, I have experienced bullying. I started being bullied when I was in high school, and bullying never really took place face to face. It took place via internet. And something that I was so, so thankful for that my mom and dad did is my mom and dad, they did not shield me from what was taking place. They didn't say, okay, we have to take your Instagram away. We have to take social media away because we don't want this to hurt you, because we want to protect you from these words and from these people. And as parents, it's very easy to go that route. Like, when the bullying first started, my mama bear and papa bear came out and they're like, this is our little girl. Like, what on earth are these people thinking? They're saying these things about her. Like, we really had to take inventory of, okay, let's take a step back. And we really took on Ephesians 6, because Ephesians 6 says, finally, brothers and sisters, I encourage you to be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power, and put on the full armor of God, because you know that our battle is not against flesh and blood, but it's against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realm. So they equipped me in truth. They equipped me in love. They equipped me in an eternal perspective, so that together we could go about it with truth and grace. So now that I'm out of the home, in college, I'm able to continue to daily walk in my armor that I was equipped with, instead of every time I'm hated on or every time I'm bullied, I run and hide in fear of what people are thinking. And that was something that I really, really appreciated my mom and dad doing, because I got to realize that Jesus said, you've been told to love those who love you back, but which anybody can do. But very truly, I tell you to love your enemies, pray for those who persecute you, bless those who curse you, realizing that people aren't your problem, but hurt people hurt other people, and they don't know how loved they are yet. There's a real enemy who hates all of us. And with discernment of the Spirit, you handle each situation, but understand that the people are not your problem. And I was so thankful that my mom and dad taught me that, because now I'm able to see the hatred and the bullying that is coming at me. It's not actually coming at me. It's coming at the one who lives in me. If you have children that are being bullied, I just want to pass this encouragement on to them, that they are seen, they are loved, they are made for such a time as this. Parents, I am so thankful for you, and you have a very important job, and you too are seen, and you are loved, and continue to train your child up in the way they should go, and continue to lean on the Lord. And the best thing that you could do for your child is surrender your life to the Lord. And I'm just so proud of you. And I'm so thankful that I get to talk with you today. This has blessed me.
Isn't Emma just the sweetest girl? You can just tell, right, by listening to her. So she says she was blessed, but I know I was so blessed to talk with her. And there is something about the passion of youth that is so winsome that we want to get back, right? As we get older, we want that same passion that we once had. I highly recommend Emma's book, Be Loved. It's filled with fun photos, scriptures, journal type entries, and Emma's signature joy and quirkiness on every page. So Emma May Jenkins. The book is Be Loved. She is a great role model for girls, so positive and loving. And isn't it so cool how she knew so many scriptures? That challenged me. I was like, wow, I don't know that I could recite so many scriptures. So as we rehearse God's word and teach our kids to do the same, we can speak truth. And that's going to help our kids, especially in the social media world. Well, you can visit and follow Emma May Jenkins on Instagram at 1 Corinthians 13_love. Or look her up on YouTube. And my book, Parents Rising, 8 Strategies for Raising Kids Who Love God, Respect Authority, and Value What's Right, will also help you seek to raise that child like Emma, who is full of joy and serving God. You can find my book, Parents Rising, on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, etc. And also check out the video series on my website, arlenepellicane.com. You can download that first video absolutely free. Well, if you have enjoyed this Happy Home podcast, please take a moment to write a quick review. I'm Arlene Pellicane. Remember to enjoy less tech and more life. And until next time, remember, you too can have a happy home.